Let's pray. Father, we proclaim the truthfulness of that song that was forged in the life of a man who understood the reality of that, the painful reality, but Lord, the freeing reality of that as well. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning, even as we deal with the topic, Lord, that we don't like to hear, but Lord, is true nonetheless, and is illustrated and taught in the lives of your disciples by Jesus himself. So Lord, we commit this time to you. May your Spirit speak. In Jesus' name, amen. There are days and months and even seasons of our lives where it feels like God puts us into circumstances or situations where He presses, He pushes our backs against the wall. And we have nowhere to turn. Times where it feels like He pushes us to the limits. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there right now? Yes. Yes. Sometimes these situations are just the result of living in a fallen world. Sometimes they are the result of the choices that others make that we have to bear the consequences for. And sometimes they are God ordained by Him for no other reason than He chose to do it. And these, my folks, are defining moments for us. Regardless of the reason you are in these situations, these seasons of life, they are defining moments for us. And I believe that that is the message of Mark chapter 6, if you'd like to turn there, because it looks like we're not going to have the aid of video projection this morning. But Mark chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 30 through 44. It's an example of where Jesus has been going through ministry with His disciples, and He has entered into a season where He is preparing them for the future, a future that is without His physical presence. And the circumstances that lead up to this moment are perfect illustrations of how Jesus is intentionally stretching His disciples. Jesus is stretching His disciples. Just to remind you a little bit of the context, Jesus has gone to Nazareth with his disciples. He is totally and utterly rejected by His own hometown folks. And then He turns around and He tells His disciples who have been watching what's happened. He says, now I want you guys to go out two by two, and I want you to do out in the other villages what I've done here. Not a real encouragement, because He is not telling them yet that you are not necessarily going to be rejected like I was here, but be prepared for this. So He sends them out two by two, and they go out, and unlike rejection, or they may have experienced some rejection, but they experienced great things. They were able to be empowered by Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out demons in all of these villages where they went to. And it was amazing, and as they returned to find Jesus, they were pumped. And in verse 30 of chapter 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and all that they had taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. See, what happened was these surrounding villages saw what was happening through the lives of these disciples, and like little minions, they follow them back to where Jesus is. And the crowds just continued to swell of people who said, I want a piece of that. I want Jesus to do some more things. And the rumors and the words spread throughout all the area. And people kept coming and coming and coming, so that they did not even have time to eat. Physically, they were worn out. They were at their limits. Relationally, they were burned out. Because we know from John chapter 6 that many of these people who kept coming weren't necessarily interested in hearing the message of the kingdom of God and the gospel. They just wanted a piece of Jesus. They wanted Jesus to fix their lives. And then emotionally, they were tapped out. For we know, and from Matthew chapter 14, that sort of at the end of the day, they had received news that Herod had killed John the Baptist. And in Matthew 14:13, it says, at that point, Jesus tells them, we're going to go away. This was their breaking point. And Jesus tells them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love it because they didn't just need downtime away from the ministry and activity. They needed downtime with Jesus. You know, one provides you with maybe some escape. But when we have downtime with Jesus, it provides us with renewal. And that's what they were after. That's what they were after. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, you'd think that the text would go on to say, surely He will tell them, go home. Give us 24 hours, please. But no, instead, He had compassion on them because, in spite of all of the fatigue that they had, they were like sheep without a shepherd. As tired as these disciples and as tired as Jesus was, and as demanding as the crowds were, He saw them. I would kind of want to just keep on walking. But He saw them. Because He saw that they were people at risk. That they needed a shepherd. So they get out of the boat, and He began teaching them many things, or more literally, many, 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 many things. Those are kind of those sermons that keep going. You all know what I'm talking about, right? No, you don't? Many things. And I'm sure that the disciples were distraught, the look on their face, and looked at each other and said, whatever happened to the come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest? How many of you have seen the movie What About Bob? If you haven't seen that, you got to see that. That's kind of like what this was like. They kept coming and coming and coming, and like Bob in the movie, he would go to a psychiatrist, and it doesn't matter where his psychiatrist went, there was Bob. And Bob was saying, I need, I need, I need, and I want, I want, I want. And finally, on vacation, Bob shows up. The psychiatrist is about to go mad. And Bob says, I just need. And he says, okay, Bob, today we're going to try a new kind of therapy. Oh, good, what's that? It's death therapy, Bob. We're going to try death therapy. I love that scene. If you haven't seen it, it has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but anyhow. I have to tell a story somewhere. Jesus is with his disciples and he's taken them to this physical point of where they are exhausted. He has stretched them. The ministry opportunities, the physical demands, the emotional side of things has just left them spent. And then time comes to get away and people find him and he doesn't turn them away. He allows them to be stretched, but not only that, but Jesus looks at this as an opportunity where he says, I'm not only going to stretch you guys, I'm going to press you guys. I'm going to press you guys. And by this time, by the time Jesus was done, or he wasn't even done yet, but it was late in the day, so his disciples come to him and says, this has got to stop. You got to be quiet, Jesus. You got to let them go. And we know from John 6 that Philip was the spokesperson for this group. And he tells Jesus, this is a remote place. And it's already very late, Jesus. Send the people away, so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Makes sense, doesn't it? But, remember I've said several times that when you see but in Mark, that's not good. At least for the disciples. But, he answered, and I'm sure he had a smirk on his face. I have a better idea, Philip. You. The idea in the Greek is it's emphatic. And it's like he looks him in the eye and he says, you, Philip. You, Jeremy. You, Jeff. You guys. You guys, give them something to eat. And then he just sits back and watches. Say, what? I'm sure that emotionally in their minds they were thinking, Jesus, this is one of those times when it really feels like you're asking way too much of us. Jesus, you want us to feed 15 to 20,000 people? Because that's approximately how many were there. 15 to 20,000 people? You want us to feed it? He's asking way too much because he commands them. This is a command. It's not a request. He looks them in the eye and he says, I command you. You give them something to eat. And he commands them to do the impossible. And they respond. And the words in the original are dripping with sarcasm and cynicism and anger. Put yourselves in their emotional state. And he says, this is impossible. He says, this would take 8 months of a man's wages, which, by the way, we don't have, Jesus. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread to give them something to eat? They're saying, this is impossible. You're asking way too much, Jesus. You've pushed us too far. You've crossed the line. You've gone mad. And sometimes, when we're following Jesus, it feels that way. Sometimes, when we're trying to make a marriage work, and we're trying to honor Jesus and honor what He says, But it goes south. It feels like you're asking too much. Sometimes when you're faced with a ministry mandate, it just feels like it's too much. You've gone mad. You've gone mad. Does He want them to do the impossible? Does He expect them to go all God on these people and to do the impossible, that which they can't do? They thought so. They thought that He was asking them to do the impossible. But what they don't understand is that He's not asking them to do the impossible because He can't. They can't do the impossible. He is preparing them for time that is very quickly coming when He will no longer be there. He is preparing them for future without His presence, His physical presence. He's preparing them for something great. So He commands them to do the impossible, and He says, what are you guys going to do? And by doing that, He exposes their mindset, which is one of personal autonomy. He exposes their default within them that says, yes, Jesus, You expect me to do this. And He says, you're not getting this. You're not getting this. He's saying, you're right. This is impossible. And He wants them to accept this reality. You're not enough. I'm putting you in situations and circumstances where you are not enough. I'm putting you in circumstances and situations where you are not competent to handle on your own. I am pressing you against the wall to see which way you will turn. See, this, thus far, they have watched Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And so when they look at Him, while they've seen Him calm the seas in a moment's notice, and He is hoping that as He tells them, you feed them, that they're going to turn it back on Him and say, no, Lord, You feed them because we can't. But instead, they take the position that says, we got to do this, but we can't do this. And they turn in anger and cynicism and says, you've asked too much from us. That's what He's doing. He's saying, you're not enough. You're not competent. And in the life of these disciples, and in the life of every disciple, we will be confronted throughout life with seasons and circumstances that are impossible for us to handle. And we can respond in a couple of ways. We can respond with anger and cynicism, despair, or we can respond with humility and saying, God, I can't. I'm not running away. I'm not throwing in the towel, and I'm not giving up, but I can't do it. This is too great for me to do. And He says, got you right where I want you. I've got you right where I want you. And then Jesus, in His grace, in the midst of the cynicism and the anger and the despair that the disciples were feeling at this point in time, as they're not only stressed, but they are pressed, He shows incredible grace. He doesn't wipe them out. He doesn't chide them for their bad attitude. Instead, He meets them. He meets them in their desperation. And He says to them in verse 38, "How many loaves do you have?" And He asked them, "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five small dinner-sized rolls and two fish." Then the disciples directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, He looked up to heaven and He gave thanks. And He broke the loaves. And then He gave it to them, gave them to His disciples. And He set them before the people. And He also divided the two fish among them all. And in the middle of this physical and emotional wilderness, they all ate and were what? Satisfied. Jesus wants them to see that they are not enough. Because if Jesus continued to train them in skills, train them in knowledge, and then released them from ministry, and He went back to be the Father, they would crash and burn. Because living life in this kingdom of God, we will be pressed. We will be pressed. And then what are we going to do? So part of their essential preparation was brokenness. Part of essential to the joy and the life that they were to learn was brokenness. Amen? How many like to learn brokenness? No. But you know what? When we don't, when we feel all competent, when we feel like we are enough and we have the unction and we have the determination and we have the can-do spirit, that sucks the joy out of life. It sucks the joy out of life. Because it's like trying to move an immovable object. It's trying to be competent beyond our capacity. We can't do it. And when we're there, God will sit back and say, "You keep pushing against that rock all you want. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch you, because this is by my divine decree right now. And I'm going to wait until you cry out to me and throw up your hands and in humility say, 'I can't do it anymore.'" He says, "Finally, I got you right where I want you. Got you right where I want you." He wants them to see that they are not enough. See, in John 6, the same story, John writes, after he tells them to feed them, he says, "He asked them to do this only to test them." What are you going to do? Are you going to respond in anger and cynicism? Are you going to run away? Or are you going to cry out? Because He already knew what He was going to do. He was just waiting for us to listen to it, to hear it, to cry out. He says, "I know you can't feed these people on your own, and I never intended you to do so. Will you invite me into this? Will you invite me into this? Will you give me what you have? Will you give me what you have? And will you do what I ask? See, this is not about what we can do with our gifts and our abilities. It's about what He wants to do with our gifts and abilities. And He says, will you let me work? Well, Jesus, I don't feel very competent when you're working and I'm not. You don't need to feel competent. You don't need to feel like you're enough. I am. I am. See, this was a defining moment for them. And it's a defining moment for us. When we don't get this, or when we forget this, because we forget this oftentimes, it sucks the joy out of our lives. Because we live in despair. We live with the challenge of solving a burden that is too great for me to solve. And it leads to despair. They had learned this lesson prior to this. But like all of us, these lessons have got to be relearned, because my default, I'll speak for myself, my default when it comes to coming up against challenges that are too great for me to handle, I look at it as a challenge, as an opportunity. Let me at it. And then it usually ends up in despair. That's my default. That's our default. That was the disciples' default. For just in two chapters, in chapter 8 of Mark, we see another situation that is just like this one. Large crowds were gathering around Jesus, and He was teaching them, and this one went for 3 days. And they had had nothing to eat, so Jesus called His disciples and said, they're in the middle of the wilderness, I have compassion on these people. They've already been with Me for 3 days and have not had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come from a long distance. Disciples, we've got a problem. And His disciples answered, But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Oy vey. I don't know what Jesus was thinking, but if I were Him, I would think, you guys just are a little slow of learning. Do you ride the short bus? He stresses them. But He rewards their responsiveness. Back to chapter 6. He rewards their responsiveness. They all are eating and they've satisfied, and Jesus sends them out to pick up the scraps. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Jesus gives them and us a picture of the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. They were like sheep without a shepherd, these crowds, and He shepherds them well by having compassion upon them, even though they were tired, even though they were exhausted. He shepherds the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But that's not the only one He shepherds. He shepherds His disciples. He shepherds His disciples. Even though the disciples were sheep with a shepherd, they didn't know how to posture themselves before the shepherd so that He could minister to their lives. But Jesus does that for them by giving them each out of all the food that was left over in these 15 to 20,000 people. He gives his disciples exactly what they need, a little lunchbox full of food. How gracious is that? How gracious is that? That's the lesson. We're not enough, but we've got a shepherd who is. We have a shepherd who is. Amen? He just wants us to cry out to Him, to call out to Him, not with anger or despair, cynicism, "You've asked too much from me," but with a heart that says, "I'm willing, but I'm not able. But You are. You are." This is in the Bible, in all four Gospels. It's the only story, it's the only event beyond the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that's in all four Gospels. Why is that? Because this was a defining moment for them. And it's a defining moment for us. Anybody feel pressed? You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord." Humble. And then He will exalt you. But how do we humble ourselves before the Lord in that passage? He goes on to say, you humble yourselves, and this is the idea in the text. It doesn't necessarily come through in all the English translations, but this is the idea. And as you humble yourselves by casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He wants to shepherd you. He wants to give you what you need. Anybody feel the need? Feel like they're being pressed? Why don't you stand if you feel like you're just being pressed right now? Go ahead, you don't need to be shy. Your needs are greater than what we can do, can meet. The challenges that you're facing are greater than we can fix. But we have a shepherd who wants to meet you where you are. And I don't know what He wants to do, but I know He wants to meet you. He wants to meet you. I want to encourage those of you who are around, these folks, I want you to look at them, and then I want to invite you to go and to pray for them. I know that's a scary thing, but we're going to have a moment where we just allow the congregation to pray for each other. Okay? We're going to give you a couple of minutes, and then I will close us. So those of you who are around but maybe are not standing, I want you to go. You guys can stand. I want you to go and surround some of these folks. And they don't have to tell you what the issue is unless they're comfortable with that. But I want you to just ask them, "May I pray for you?" So Let's go on ahead and let's do it. Okay?
Father, we need you. Every hour, we need you. Lord, in every situation, whether things are going good or things are going terribly wrong and in between, we need you. We need you in our marriages. We need you as parents. We need you as single people just trying to live for you. We need you as students. Lord, we need you as neighbors, as co-workers, as friends to help us to live for you in a way that is honoring to you. This world draws us in so many different ways away from you, and we need you. We need you when we're alone and when we're in a crowd. And thank you that you are the great shepherd that runs out after us when we wander, that draws us near when we need comfort. And Father, we trust you that you know what you're doing. This world is broken. It's sinful. And one day, we will be able to be in glory with you, healed of everything that ails us. Father, comfort our hearts. And help us to understand that it is okay to run to you, our Father, our Sovereign Lord. Amen.